And good morning, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of The Morning Show here at KRFY 88.5, listener-supported community radio. This is Julie Calamine, one of your hosts, and I'm here this morning with Phil Huff. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, Julie.
How have you been?
Oh, I've been great. We had a wonderful weekend. Went down to Idaho Conservation League's annual gathering of conservationists called Wild Idaho in Stanley, or actually more precisely at Redfish Lake, which will be center line for the eclipse on August 21st.
Idaho is a big state for the eclipse, I understand.
Yeah, it is. It covers a lot of territory. It's going to be wonderful viewing for those who are with inside of it. But if you haven't gotten a hotel room or a campsite by now, you're probably out of luck.
I have a Minnesota friend who's planning to go to Missouri for that. Man, I would take Idaho over Missouri in the middle of summer any day, wouldn't you?
Yeah, the wiser choice.
So true. Well, Phil, you had a great weekend, I know, being down in Stanley. And my high point of the weekend was an interesting class on permaculture I took at a homestead that was about 3,000 feet high. It was interesting to see what you can grow up there. And it's more than I thought.
That's good. Those would be good skills. It's better than temporary culture.
So true. Well, we have a very interesting program this morning. We're going to be talking with two gals from Friends of Scotchman Peak, Britta Meyerly and Mary Franzel, and I'm going to introduce them in a moment, but first let's have a quick weather report. Well, happy days for those of us in Sandpoint who've been living through lots of clouds, because today, Tuesday, we've got sunny with a high near 81. Was it 80 yesterday, Phil? Maybe.
79, according to my car thermometer.
Wow, this might be our first 80, so that's great. And tonight, mostly clear, low of 47. Tomorrow, not quite as sunny, but still beautiful, high of 63. And I understand it's going to be windier, which we'll live with, better than rain. Nighttime temp, low of 43. And then Thursday, guess what? Chance of showers, 50%. So it's coming up again.
Yeah, but long range onto the weekend. Isn't it clear and sunny?
Yes. Mostly sunny to partly cloudy all through the weekend. So good times coming for Sandpoint. Well, let's move on to a very interesting morning show. So as I've already mentioned, this morning we're going to be joined by Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness, and our two guests are first Mary Franzel, who's the GOAT Education Coordinator. Good morning, Mary.
Hello.
So nice. Happy to have a fellow Minnesotan here, although we're really not anymore. And our second guest is Britta Meyerly, and Britta is the Assistant Program Coordinator for Friends of Scotchman Peak. Good morning, Britta.
Good morning, Julie.
So great to have you all here. So we have plenty to talk about with Friends of Scotchman Peak Wilderness, but even though many of us and most of us probably know what the organization does, why don't we have one of you give us just a brief overview of the history and the mission?
Yes, so the Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness was formed in January 2005 by residents of North Idaho and Northwest Montana who believe the Scotchman Peaks Roadless Area deserves permanent protection as wilderness. In North Idaho, there are large areas of wildland, but none are permanently protected. And in western Montana, there are also vast areas of wildland that also go unprotected. So we believe that there are places for multiple uses in our national forests, but the best use for the Scotchman's is as wilderness.
Yes, I agree. Maybe I'm not supposed to say that as the interviewer. I take that back. How about the... And the mission. Will we get on the mission? Do we just do that, or am I confused now by my mistake?
No, we're good. So we believe in order to preserve the rugged, scenic, and biologically diverse Scotchman Peaks in Idaho and Montana, the best way to do that is by conducting advocacy, education, outreach, and stewardship activities. And we believe the majority of this wild area is one of the last and largest in our region, and it deserves congressional wilderness designation for the benefit of current and future generations.
So it sounds like a whole lot of advocacy, but also doing some good stewardship work these days.
Yeah, we like to get people out in the field, and one really awesome way to gain advocates is to get them out in the Scotchman's and help them fall in love with them.
Tell us a little more about that. How do you do that?
You know, we do lots of different programs. With education, we do winter tracks during the winter with area schools. It's an educational field trip experience for students in the county surrounding the Scotchman's. We even have a school from Washington that we include. And, It's got a goal of getting students out into the field during the winter months in order to deepen their sense of place, build community, and connect to the outdoor world through experiential education. Some buzzwords from our from our winter program coordinator, who's got a master's in environmental education, so she knows what she's talking about.
And a whole lot of volunteers to help with the program.
It takes a ton of volunteers. I think we had close to 50 this winter. Mm-hmm. So there were a lot of hours, lots of miles driven, but it's worth it seeing those kids outside and helping them learn about the trees and mammals and leave no trace principles, all these great outdoor things.
I happened to be at Round Lake State Park one day when a group was looking at winter tracks with Tyler, the coordinator, and those kids were so excited. They were just having a great day.
Yeah, it's super fun.
Yeah. So. Well, another thing that's a very important, another program that's very important to Friends of Scotchman Peak has to do with mountain goats, and it's why we've invited Mary here today to tell us about it. Mary, your title is Goat Education Coordinator.
Yes, I organize and recruit volunteers to hike up the Scotchman Peak Trail 65 on weekends and holidays, because that's the heaviest use of the trail. And it's a program in coordination with the National Forest Service. So the volunteers wear a Forest Service shirt and a Scotchman Peaks hat and just stop and chat with people on the trail, asking how their day is, are they enjoying the hike, have they been here, and then move on to, there usually are mountain goats at the top. And a lot of people come here because of the goats. And we want to have the hikers remain safe. We want to keep the mountain goats there and keep them safe. And it's just a fun way to get out, enjoy a hike, and really help educate the public on safe mountain goat behavior for both hikers and goats.
So let's do a little hiker mountain goat coordinator educator role play. Let's say Julie and I are out on a Sunday hike, we've got our picnic lunch, we're heading up the trail, we're excited. We see you, we see your shirt, we say, hey, are we going to see goats?
Launch, no, I say, Phil, field. Did you remember the pickles?
Okay.
All right.
Well, hi, folks. Have you been up here before?
Oh, well, no, I've never been up before. It's beautiful.
I was up a couple years ago, and there's this wonderfully friendly goat that came up to greet us. I hope he's there again.
Well, he may very well be. My name's Mary, and I am with the Friends of Scotchman Peaks and the Forest Service, and just helping to make sure you have a good time and stay safe up here. You most likely will see goats.
Oh, good.
Yeah, because last year I threw him my pickle and he licked it.
Ah, well, we're a little concerned that the goats might get too close because people have, they look really cute, especially a lot of times they're babies and they're adorable. But if you want a pet adorable, you need to get a domestic goat and go to a farm because these are wild animals. And sometimes the mothers can be understandably protective of their young. Plus, the goats very much want salt. It's a little short in supply up high where they like to live. So the granola bars are a great attractant for them because there's salt in those. Plus, if it's a bit of a strenuous hike and you'll sweat, and they will actually come up and want to lick the sweat off your arms and legs, which can be very dangerous. Someone was actually bit a couple years ago by a goat who he was letting him lick his leg and decided that the guy had had enough and the goat hadn't. So the gentleman stood up to leave and the goat bit him. And he actually required some stitches. And we do not want that to happen.
So wait a minute. We don't want to let the goats lick us?
Definitely not. Because they are, bears might like if you'd been eating a greasy hamburger. They might like your grease on your hands. But most people would never consider letting a bear lick them. But these goats are used to people, and they look really sweet and friendly. And we want to keep the trail open. It was actually had to be closed a couple years ago, and because of the goat injury, the Forest Service does not want anyone to get hurt, and we want to make sure that the trail stays open and everyone, including the goats, remains safe.
Well, that does bring us around to the history of your position, and it was created because of the problems. And can you tell us a bit about the results you're having? Are you succeeding? Are people staying away from the goats?
For the most part, yes. People love that they can get a nice close-up picture of a goat, and how close I sadly have seen some people, I think they could get a close-up of the goat's nose hairs.
Oh.
Because pretty much all cameras, even the little tiny ones, have pretty decent zooms. So having the goats at 100 feet or more, is you can still get really nice photographs. And the selfie with the goat is evidenced by a lot of trouble in Yellowstone with selfies with all different types of animals. Is not a good idea unless the goat is way in the background and you're 100 feet or more away from them. And it's actually, some people are very intimidated by the goats because they tend to be, the goats, a little forward. They will walk right up to you, right on the trail, but slapping your hiking poles together, yelling at them, stomping, they'll back up. And it's sort of, people think they're cute and they're being mean to the goats by yelling at them. And in reality, they are helping the goats.
Maybe so, saving their lives.
So I want to come back to, how did it all begin? What were the events that precipitated it?
In 2015, before the big fire started, was the gentleman that was hiking up, taking a nice break at the top, probably had his pack off, was hot and sweaty, and thought the goat kept coming closer, and he thought it was pretty cool. And it's understandable to see this nice-looking animal, and the goat started licking his leg. And then the gentleman let him do that for a while and decided he wanted to start heading back down, and the goat hadn't had enough salt. And this particular gentleman actually needed to have some stitches. And the Forest Service was pretty concerned, not wanting anyone to be injured if it were a young child or maybe someone that made a fast move, startled the goat, whatever. Now, they do have sharp horns. Both males and females have horns. They're horns, not antlers. And they're on year-round for them. And so they actually closed the trail for several months, and it coincided with the closure for the fires closely, but it remained closed in the hopes that the goats would realize that their salt and food source was sort of dried up, so to speak. And then we started the program in 2016 with hopes of educating the public. We have some signage on the trail talking about keeping distance and don't feed them and don't let them approach you. And then having the volunteers on the trail when it's the busiest, getting them to just engage. And most people are very willing to stop and chat. I think a lot of people appreciate the, quote, excuse to take a break on the trail. And everybody is seems very receptive and enjoys they'll ask where huckleberries are or what the weather's supposed to be.
You don't tell them where the huckleberries are, do you?
The ones right on the trail.
Yeah.
Oh. Mary, you mentioned it's a dream job, and it does sound like it's a dream job, except for the fact that one might have to walk to the top of Scotchman Peak every time you do a work shift. Is that true? Do you need to walk all the way to the top or not?
Usually, if I've hiked it a couple times last year in the rain, but shockingly, I've still met people in horrendous weather that are really wanting to go up. So yes, it's wonderful, but this year we're going to focus a little more on trying to have the ambassadors hang out more at the top, where the goats are, and kind of just be available so that people have questions and or point out where a goat is at a good distance.
So if you're just tuning in, we're talking with Mary Frenzel, Mountain Goat Education Coordinator with the Friends of Scotchman Peaks, and Britta Meyerly, the Assistant Program Coordinator, about the various programs that the Friends have going on this summer. This is 88.5 KRFY, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. If you missed any of the beginning of the show, you can always listen to our podcast later on.
And if you're not within radio range, you can live stream us at krfy.org.
So, Mary, tell us a little more about the volunteers. Who are they, and how do they get trained?
Well, we have volunteers anywhere from a 70-year-old down to a high school grad, just graduated from high school, and it's not a race to get up to the top. It can take you 6 hours if that's how long you want to spend, and a lot of people do when it's a beautiful day. And we have a training program that's pretty easy, really. Facts about mountain goats and how to approach people. And if someone can't make the training, I'm always available to, I'll take you out for coffee at Starbucks.
So do they need any particular experience before volunteering?
Absolutely not. It's just a friendly demeanor and a love of the outdoors, and
that's it.
So I'm sure someone's listening right now going, how do I help with that? So how do they? How do they get a hold of you to sign up as a volunteer?
You can go to the Friends of Scotchman Peaks webpage, which is scotchmanpeaks.org, or you can email me at mary@scotchmanpeaks.org.
Sounds easy. And you've mentioned that you've got young folks and older folks, and it sounds like a person needs to be able to hike, but the levels of fitness vary quite a bit amongst your volunteers.
Oh, absolutely. But a couple of the younger kids are super athletic, and we've got 70-plus-year-olds that they meander up and do a great job, and people, they enjoy people is the bottom line, and enjoy sharing their knowledge and love of the outdoors.
So how many volunteers were there last year?
We had about 30 to 35, and we probably had about 20 who were super stellar and would, if somebody couldn't do it, they would fill in. And
Mary, you've told us quite a bit about the job, but do you have any interesting, fun stories to share with us from last summer? I was with you one day, and we had a great time with your dog, Morgan. Any fun anecdotes you can share with us about the job?
Well, of course I'm slightly biased about my dog, but she is a stellar goat dog. She doesn't chase them. She's excellent under voice command, and the goats are very unsure of dogs. And she walks very slowly towards them because they don't tend to run away. And they back up. And Morgan isn't quite sure what they are and doesn't want to get very close. But she'll stay 50, 75 feet away and just herd them off the trail, which is exactly what we want.
So generally it's good if you have a dog hiking along with you in mountain goat country?
If your dog doesn't chase game, because the last thing we'd want to have happen is a dog that would chase a goat and the goat drops off the edge, because they're super good at steep with their hooves and they can actually grab some with their front feet, and the dog not so well. So the last thing we'd want is to
lose a dog.
Yes.
I thought you were talking about losing a goat.
Oh, no. The goats will, but if you're, probably the best thing is to start out with your dog on a leash. And at the top, if I meet people on the way up, I suggest that they put their dog on a leash. Yes, please put the goat on a leash.
And your goat, if you're bringing a goat up to the top.
Actually, there's a couple in Coeur d'Alene that hikes with a goat. But
a domestic goat.
Yes, a domestic goat. Anyway, and if your dog, you know, doesn't pull at the leash and whatnot, but it is recommended that you not have your dog off leash up there. And another thing that I have seen is people feeding their dogs up there, which we strongly discourage because they will leave crumbs. And again, the goats will come up and like, sadly, goats eat just about anything.
Well, sure, and the goats might get kind of jealous. They go, why not us?
Yeah, exactly.
Look, these humans are feeding these other animals.
Where's my goat chow?
Yeah.
Well, Mary, it sounds like a dream job for a person who likes hiking in the outdoors, and it sounds like it's a job well-suited to you. I'm appreciative that we've got you up there, and also kind of nice to know that someone's up there keeping an eye on folks on busy days in case.
What is? It is nice. I always hike with a cell phone, and there's good cell coverage up there. Just in case anybody got hurt, as we have had a couple medical, just not goat-related medical evacs, but...
So looking forward to 2018, tell us about the upcoming season.
Or 2017.
2017, I'm getting a year ahead of myself. This upcoming season, then we'll talk future years.
Our training is going to be June 1st at the Forest Bird Charter School in Sandpoint, and it will start, the goat training will start at 5, be less than an hour, having someone from Forest Service and Fish and Game come and speak with the ambassadors, and then following that is the annual State of the Scotchman's program, which starts at 6, and there'll be a no-host bar and food, which...
Who doesn't tracks. Love that?
I think Britta's going to talk a lot more about that in
excellent.
A few moments. But,
yes.
But good. So do you anticipate a pretty robust season this year then?
Yes. I've asked several people that I was like, oh, you like to hike? Maybe you'd like to do this. And I've, oh, yes. So I think there are people out there that haven't seen the ads that we've put out for Friends of Scotchman and really think this is a neat program to...
Yeah, help out with. Well, Mary, we'll look forward to seeing you out there at Scotchman's this summer, and hopefully I'll make it to the top and get to talk goats with you up there.
Oh, I know. You just want to go see Morgan.
Probably Morgan, too, and Mary. Well, I want to thank you, and let's take a song break, guys, and then we'll come back and talk with Britta about upcoming programs going on with Scotchman, other upcoming programs. We'll be listening to Natalie Merchant. And that was Natalie Merchant with Man in the Wilderness, an appropriate song for this morning, don't you think, Phil?
Absolutely.
For those of you just joining us, you're listening to 88.5 KRFY, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. And we're being joined this morning by two gals from Friends of Scotchman Peak Wilderness. And they are Britta Meyerly, who is the assistant program coordinator. And we've just been chatting with Mary Franzel, who is the goat education coordinator.
So maybe Natalie should have sung about women in the wilderness.
True. But she didn't.
Let's focus in now a little bit on the upcoming programs and volunteer opportunities that Britta is here to talk about. And Britta, Mary mentioned some stuff coming up next week.
Yeah, Mary mentioned the State of the Scotchman's. It's our annual meeting, but it's kind of more, that sounds sort of boring. It's not really that dull. It's a lot more fun. We have a no-host bar and get some snacks and listen to Rick Johnson, who's the executive director of Idaho Conservation League. And if you don't know Rick, he's an amazing, really dynamic speaker. So we're super excited to have him. And you can hear some updates on what's going on with the organization and the campaign. We have volunteer awards to give out, including our Old Goat of the Year. And all of that fun is to be had next Thursday, June 1st. It's from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Charter School here in Sandpoint. And if you forget, just look it up on our website, scotchmanpeaks.org.
The Forest Bird Charter School.
Yeah, the Forest Bird Charter School.
And it's open to the public, free?
It is free and open to the public. Everyone is welcome.
I was there last year. It was very interesting. So I'd recommend folks make it if they can.
Yeah, we have a good time. It's a good chance for friends to mingle and hear what's going on and just say hi to each other.
Good. A good start.
Always a great way to kick off summer.
It is, yeah.
And other things. I see Sanders, is it County Picnic? Is that upcoming?
Yeah, every year we do a picnic over in Sanders County, Montana. Sandy, our program coordinator, dubbed this one the umpteenth Sanders County picnic. So it's a great chance for new and old friends to get together, hear what's going on with the organization. And that is on June 25th, starting at 3 p.m. over at the Bull River Campground Pavilion.
That's what he gets for being, a liberal arts English literature type person rather than a math person.
Yeah, that's what we get for having a writer in the crew, huh?
And is the purpose of that picnic to bring together your Idaho and Montana supporters of the wilderness area?
It is, but it's also getting all of our friends over in Sanders County to get together too. But everyone's welcome.
It sounds fun. Hopefully it will be good weather for that.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Yes.
So summer's coming up, trail project season?
So many trail projects. Every year we do Field Day Fridays. So starting June 23rd, we have days planned on Trail 999. That's the historic Star Peak Trail. Some people call it the Big Eddy Trail. It's one that the Friends actually built, kind of reclaimed it a few years ago. So we're going to go do a little work over there. We've got a day plan on Scotchman Peak Trail above the new tread that we finished last year. Some on Morris Creek Trail over in the Lightning Creek drainage area, and on the Pillock Ridge Complex over off the Bull River Highway. So lots of trail days. And we also have a 3-day weekend planned for people who are super serious about their trail work. And that's over near Spar Lake to reclaim an old trail.
Now, do folks have to come out for all 3 days, or can they drop in and drop out?
I think it works best if they come out for all three, but if you can only make it for two, we'd probably make an exception for you. Yep, and so all those are listed on our website, which is scotchmanpeaks.org, and click on Stewardship and Events.
Now, you mentioned the Scotchman Peak Trail, the new trail. For those who haven't been up in a couple of years, tell us what's going on or has gone on there.
So the Friends worked with the Forest Service and planned a new route for the lower mile or so, because it was really steep going up and a knee buster going down, and just wasn't a sustainable trail. It would wash out pretty easily. So they finished after, was it 3 years of work? 2 years of your work? It was before I started.
Pre-Britta.
Finished on your watch.
Yeah, finished on my watch, dang it. So after 2 years of work, all of our volunteers came together and finished up that lower reroute. And we had some local students come out and do the fun part, which was decommission the old trail. So if you haven't hiked Scotchman since the end of last season, it's a little bit easier, that first mile is.
It's way easier. Speaking as goat person who hiked numerous times last year, the old trail had one 90 degree turn and one switchback. The new trail has 19 switchbacks.
Oh my. And that's coming from a person with known knee issues. So you must be enjoying
it. I love that now.
Yes.
And it did not add, surprisingly, all that much in distance, maybe a quarter mile or thereabouts. It's way worth the little extra distance.
Yes, good deal. Britta, Mary and I were talking during break about snow up on the mountain and how that's going to work out with the beginning of Goat Ambassador work. And I'm just wondering, will y'all be working in snow on June 23rd or
I think we'll be below that.
Good.
Sandy plans the trail days, but I think it's just right above that reroute is where we'll be working. So not up at the very top.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Then I may have to sign up knowing it could be snow-free.
It's kind of hard to get any work done in mud or snow. So
true.
The snow may impact some other projects coming up.
It may. We have to wait for some snow melt and mud season to pass up higher for one specific project we have, which is a white bark pine project. If you don't know about white bark pine trees, they're this really cool native tree that's an important part of the grizzly bear habitat, among other species. These trees have a really long life cycle, but because of that, they're slow to recover after events that hurt their population, like mountain pine beetle. Last year, we had some folks go out, before the fifth fires in 2015, volunteers went out and actually helped inventory the white bark pines, and then there was a fire, so we lost some of them, which is a huge bummer. And so last year, we had some really hardy volunteers go out and find some of the healthy ones that survive the fire and put this stuff called verbenone on them, which tricks the mountain pine beetles into thinking they've already been there. So we're trying to protect the trees that are already there. And this year we are going to try to plant some more. So we're going to take a pound of seeds, which doesn't sound like a lot of seeds, but it's a lot of seeds, and work with the Forest Service. And with a grant from the National Forest Foundation, we're going to sow a bunch of seeds.
So this is direct seed sowing. It's not the little seedlings you hear about sometimes.
Yep, direct seed sowing. So we'll microsite and use a dibble and get on our hands and knees. And, well, I say us. I won't be there. So we're looking for some hardy volunteers that want to go camp out on Scotchman, spend about 4 days, 3 nights up there, and plant some seeds.
I know if I was listening, I would want to be on the phone or on the website. How would I sign up?
You can email me. Britta@scotchmanpeaks.org, and it's Britta with two T's.
All right. Britta, the substance you mentioned to confuse the beetles, it's not a pesticide, is it?
It's not. It's a synthetic version of a hormone that the beetles make when they're in a tree. And so they get a sniff of that and think, oh, I've already been here, time to move on. And so we trick them into thinking they've been there, and then they leave the trees alone. Nasty little beetles.
Good. Nobody's really hurt. Well, they're kind of hurt, but not hurt directly.
There's also some ongoing weed project work and some new stuff, isn't there?
Yeah. So we've done weed monitoring in the past. We sent volunteers out with an iPad and a fancy app on it, and they hiked the trails in Lightning Creek drainage and would draw polygons on the iPad and take pictures of weed populations. And Julie happened to be one of our weed warriors last year.
Actually, I was out with Mary. Both of us were.
Small world.
Yes.
And so this year we realized that the St. John's wort is completely out of control and it's really hard to treat. And so we are going to try something new. We're partnering with the Idaho weed guy, Ken Thacker, and the Forest Service, and are going to try biocontrols. So we're going out in the Lightning Creek drainage and trying to find the really big patches of St. John's wort. And then we're going to release some very specific beetles that think that it's delicious. And hopefully they will take a chunk out of that population.
And you're quite confident that these beetles only affect the St. John's wort?
Yeah. I went to a training about a month ago on it. And they've been studying these beetles for a really long time.
It's new to the Scotchmans, but actually this specific application, this specific biocontrol is one of the longer ones used and studied in the whole general realm of biocontrol. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I think that it started back close to the Depression era, yeah. I believe.
Yeah. It's always interesting, though. The solution is either to attract beetles or repel beetles.
Yeah, this time we're trying to attract very specific ones. Yeah.
It's too bad we can't get the bark beetles to move down to lower elevations and eat St. John's wort instead.
Yeah, dang it.
Send them a text. Maybe they'll get down there.
Yeah. So for that project, we're looking for volunteers to help us release the bugs and go trekking around and find those big fields of St. John's wort.
Well, this just takes an army of volunteers, doesn't it? Tell us a little bit about what you're building on, the base of volunteers.
It does. We have a really amazing core group of volunteers that volunteers multiple times a year. We had some people show up 6, 7, 8 days last year. But then I think we had close to 150 volunteers last year. Some of them just volunteered one day. Some of them volunteered multiple days. And it takes all types. So it's not just these intense hiking projects that we have volunteers help us with. We also do outreach. We have a table at 7B Sunday up at Schweitzer. And so we look for folks to man the table and talk to people. We've got the trail projects, winter tracks during the winter. We have so many different volunteer opportunities. If you're interested in getting involved, just get on our website or shoot me an email at Britta@scotchmanpeaks.org and we can find the right opportunity for you.
You're even having a table at the Chafe this year.
We are. Yeah, we're having one of the rest stop booths over in Clarkford.
Yeah, that's a good time to be twisting it. I know you're riding and here's some water, but let me tell you about the friends.
Exactly.
There would be a short opportunity, but at least you're there representing yourselves.
Yep, you can wear your Scotchman Peaks t-shirt.
There you go. Yeah.
Actually, I think that recently during the Stoker event up in the Kootenai, The Friends coordinator there actually did sign up a couple volunteers from the riders.
She did, and she was shocked. She thought everyone would be so busy moving along and getting back on their bike that they wouldn't want to stop and sign up to be a friend. But there were a few people that were just that interested. We were pleasantly surprised.
Well, that's good to hear. You've also got programs with kids.
We do. So we have quite a few programs with kids, but during the summer, specifically, we do community kids hikes. So it's an opportunity for families to come on hikes with us and children that are at the Bonner Homeless Transitions Program. And they're really great hikes if you have little kids because we go slow and really focus on the journey. It's not so much trying to get to a certain point. We just turn around when the kids are ready to turn around. We pack a lunch. If there's a creek, we throw rocks in the creek. It's just a really fun time to get outside and watch all the littles and their little worlds kind of expand.
And what's the age range?
We shoot for ages 3 to 13 for these hikes, but I've got a 5-month-old, and I'm taking her with this summer. I'll just be wearing her because not such a good hiker quite yet. She hasn't learned to crawl, so.
And that's the kid carry, not the kid hike.
That's right.
Yes.
How often, how many of these hikes are there?
We're doing 3 of them on Fridays. We're doing one up at Regal Creek, one at Ross Creek Cedars, and then one on Historic Star Peak Trail, that one that we've got a trail day on earlier in the season. So if you want to sign up for them, they're spread out throughout the summer. You can get on our website, scotchmanpeaks.org, and click on hikes.
Great.
Yeah.
And a variety of difficulties on those hikes, because I know that Ross Creek Cedars are, it's kind of an easy hike through there, and yet were you to join the Star Peak one, that could be more challenging.
A little bit. We do that one at the end of the season on purpose, but we also really take our time, and we don't plan to make it to the top. We've got 3-year-olds, so they've got a short attention span, although very active.
I'm picturing a 3-year-old carrying a Pulaski to help dig out some water bars.
Right? Not quite. Usually Sandy will lead the tread on that one and take his take a tool and get rid of any blowdown in front of us.
Mary, do you see many kids hiking up to the top of Scotchman?
A fair number. That sometimes I've seen some maybe 8-9-year-olds that are just super stoked that they got up to the top. And actually last summer I ran into a great family. I think they had 3 or 4 kids, and I asked if I could take their picture because they were viewing goats absolutely perfectly. And the kids were so excited that they got to see goats. So it's pretty fun to see that, you know, the kids, when you get up to the top, it's like, wow, I came from way down there.
Goat education early and often.
Yes.
Very good. Well, Britta, we've talked about lots of upcoming programs. And, of course, we're always interested in knowing what's happening with Scotchman Peak Wilderness in general. Can you give us a large-scale overview of how that's going?
And with the wilderness designation, so Senator Risch introduced a bill for wilderness designation of the Idaho portion last December. It was at the end of the session, so it needs to be reintroduced. So right now they're sort of in information gathering phase, looking for public input. And some of that public input will come through an open house that the senator's office is hosting in Hope at Hope Elementary on June 6th. And that's from 4 to 7. So the senator's staff, some of the senator's staff will be there. There'll be information available, but they'll also be there to answer questions and take comments from the public.
So the staff, the senator won't be there, but the staff will be there.
Correct.
Yeah, okay. And do you have an opinion, or do you know anything about whether the bill will be reintroduced this year?
We're really hopeful. It sounds like things are a little busy in Washington right now, but we're very hopeful.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, it's a lot to keep up on. How do people follow all this?
There are multiple ways people can follow all that. So they can get on our website and click on events or hikes. They can subscribe to our quarterly newsletter, Peak Experience, and they can do that through the website. Or our weekly email, The Insider, comes every Monday evening, and that has volunteer opportunities and events, upcoming events in it. And they can sign up for that through our website, scotchmanpeaks.org, or they can shoot one of us an email.
Okay.
And of course, there's the upcoming State of the Scotchman.
There is the upcoming State of the Scotchman, and we'd love to see new friends there. So if you want to see what's going on and hear from Rick Johnson, sign up for things. you can see us there.
Be a good way to get to know Scotchmans if you haven't learned about them yet.
Yep.
And you've talked about a need for volunteers. Imagine since you're a nonprofit, you're looking for new members and maybe donations if people are interested.
We're always looking for new friends. We don't do membership. We don't ask for people to give a membership pledge. We just ask that they, if they support wilderness designation for the Scotchmans, they sign up to be a friend, which is free, but we never turn down donations because, like you said, we are a nonprofit.
That's right. Well, what could be easier? As we run short of time on our morning show, I'm going to thank you both for joining us. Any last words you'd like to say about what's happening?
We've just got a lot going on this summer, and we're always adding new things, new events, new hikes. So make sure to check our website frequently, or sign up for the Insider.
And Mary, final words before you head off to the Scotchman Peak to hike.
If anyone would enjoy taking a hike up Scotchman to help educate the public about mountain goats, please shoot me an email, mary@scotchmanpeaks.org.
I think if we've learned nothing else, leave the goats alone. And some beetles are good and some beetles are bad.
Very true.
Absolutely.
That sounds fair.
Well, thank you both for joining us. It's been a great interview. We're going to take a song break, and this one will be Donovan. And that was Donovan with There Is a Mountain.
But then there is no mountain.
According to Donovan.
But then there is.
That's true.
He wasn't very sure of himself.
I don't know. That may have been why he didn't last as long as other music stars. Well, Phil, that was a great interview. It was good to hear about Friends of Scotchman Peak. I'll have to get to the top again this year.
I'm tired just listening to all the activities.
I know. I feel a little sorry for Mary having to do that all summer. Hey, volunteers, sign up. So we've got quite a bit going on in town this week, and we've got quite a bit going on with KRFY. For those of you just joining us, we are at 88.5 KRFY, listener-supported community radio for the Idaho Panhandle. If you're going in and out of radio range, you can always find us online at krfy.org. And if you would like to hear this show at a later date, you can go to the same website, krfy.org, and click on the podcast tab, and you'll be able to hear the whole interview again. And speaking of interviews, we have lots of them coming up.
So who's tomorrow?
Well, tomorrow, please join us at 8 a.m. with morning show hosts Susie Perez and Chris Bessler. Their guest will be Lissa DeFritis from Bonner Community Hospice. She will be talking about the Hospice Kids Camp, what it is, who it is for, and how to register. Second interview tomorrow morning will focus on the community discussion about the Business Improvement District, that's the BID, with review facilitator Roger Woodworth and Mindset Matters. That's all tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. And then on Thursday, we hope you'll tune in again at 8 a.m., and join hosts Jack Peterson and Jim Healy. And their guests will be Debbie Love from the Food Bank and Michelle Murphy from the Edible Schoolyard Garden Project. And that's Thursday at 8 a.m.
And if you're an avid follower of the Tuesday morning show, Julie and I will be back next week on May 30th with two folks from the Idaho chapter of the Pondere Master Naturalists, Lori Getz and Mary Haley. They'll be here to talk about the opening of the Waterlife Discovery Center for docent guided tours this summer and give us a general update on their programs. And then as we roll into June, the following week, all week, is our annual on-air membership drive, specifically focused on the 9th and 10th here in the studio. But the morning shows each day that week will have content relative to the membership drive. On the 9th and 10th, you can come on down to the studio and join us, renew your membership. We love members. And if you're not one, we'd like to get to know you and become one. You can watch on-air interviews of community interests and listen to live and local musicians. There's going to be some gift drawings, too, isn't there, Julie?
That's true. And you can give a shout-out to a friend if you'd like. It'll be pretty fun. We'll have some snacks and great music.
So if you've never been here before, we're at 323 North 1st Avenue upstairs. So just go into the doorway that has the Hen's Tooth and Hallahan's Gallery, go up the stairs, and there we are.
And we'll be there to meet you and talk to you about the radio station. You might decide you want to volunteer. It's pretty fun.
Yeah. So other things going on, mentioning, Julie, you mentioned the BID and the morning show tomorrow. This is the end of the listening sessions for the BID. Sandpoint has retained an independent consulting firm to engage with business owners during several listening sessions. These include a presentation on the BSU survey results and provide time to receive bid members' input. The last one is tomorrow, May 23rd, 7 to 9 a.m. at the Cedar Street Bistro, 334 North First Avenue. So if you have input for the city on the bid, come down tomorrow.
Is that intended for business owners or anyone? Can you tell?
I think they're probably interested in input mostly from the business owners who are in the bid, but I would imagine input from the general public is always welcome and influences any decision, any public policy decision. So tomorrow's a pretty busy day. The final geezer forum before summer recess will be held from 2:30 to 4 p.m. at the Columbia Bank Community Room at 414 Church Street. This last forum focuses on significance after 70. A few folks will share their stories of why they're living lives of significance, meaning, and purpose. It's free and open to the public, sponsored by the Elder Advocates.
Final.
Of the season.
Ah.
Of the season, Julie. This is a relatively quiet weekend. Sandpoint really hops during the, Lost in the 50s weekend, and then we roll into Memorial Day, and I think people are more interested in doing their own thing, but we do have Memorial Day weekend coming up, a long weekend for a lot of folks. To kick it off right, you can go to the Ales for Trails at the Idaho Poor Authority. It's a fundraising event on the 25th from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. to benefit the Ponderay Peddlers. It's a free event, but they'll be selling raffle tickets and proceeds from the beer. Some of the proceeds from the beer will go to support the Ponderay Peddlers. That's on the 25th at Idaho Poor Authority. The last Saturday, or the fourth Saturday of every month, is always the Kinnickinnick Native Plant Society's presentation. This month will be a 20th anniversary celebration. So that'll be on Saturday the 27th at 9:45 a.m. in the Sandpoint Community Hall. This presentation will focus on the history and accomplishments of the Native Plant Society. Ray Charlton, immediate past president of KNPS, and others will review the creation of the Plant Arboretum, which is adjacent to the Historical Museum here in town, the creation of the book Landscaping with Native Plants in the Idaho Panhandle, and Native Plants' relevance to current land use challenges. So join them to celebrate and enjoy a piece of the 20th birthday cake. Hey, there's cake.
Cake. I'm coming.
I don't think they have pickles.
Oh, well, that's good because there aren't going to be any goats invited.
Yeah. You can also find out this weekend about organic seed saving. That's on the 27th. Come and discuss organic gardening and seed saving during the organic seed saving class at 1 p.m. in the Sandpoint Library, 1407 Cedar Street. Bring food and seeds to share if you can. I think the seeds are to share to plant, not to eat with the food.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be roasted pumpkin seeds, Phil.
I mean like lettuce seeds.
Well, that's not as much going on as last weekend, but it is still plenty, and there'll be more to come throughout the summer. We're going to wrap up this morning's morning show with a little music from Led Zeppelin. We'll have two songs. And the reason we're playing Led Zeppelin is that in the year 2006, the King of Sweden presented the remaining members of Led Zeppelin with the Polar Music Prize. I'm sure that's quite a distinction if you're from Sweden. And we'll be going out then with Led Zeppelin, first with Immigrant Song, and secondly with some or all of Stairway to Heaven. We'll see where it cuts off. Have a great week, everyone.
Goodbye.